We open with the hymn, Thy Strong Word, found on the bulletin insert.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth?
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
To the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O Lord my God, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me.
Now and ever shall be.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we beseech thee so to rule and govern our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not, like the rich man, hear thy word in vain and become so devoted to things of this life as to forget things eternal, but that we readily and accordingly to our ability minister to such as are in need, and not defile ourselves with surfeiting and pride. In trial and misfortune, keep us from despair, and grant us to put our trust wholly in thy fatherly help and grace, so that in faith and Christian patience we may overcome all things through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Our Old Testament lesson for this first Sunday after Trinity is found in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 4 through 13. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble.
The epistle lesson is found in the 4th chapter of 1 John, verses 16 through 21. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all who persecute me and deliver me. Alleluia.
Gospel is found in the 16th chapter of Luke, the 19th through the 31st verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 296.
Here and to thy word I now give ear.
grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 16th chapter of Luke, the 19th through the 31st verse. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Here ends the gospel. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an often repeated myth going around that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. And this myth persists only if you ignore all of those parables which Jesus begins, the kingdom of heaven is like, and all those times when Jesus speaks of his Father in heaven, and of his Father's house, and of eternal life. So much for myths. But even if Jesus did speak more of hell than heaven, I'm not sure what that's supposed to prove. Jesus speaks about many things less than either heaven or hell, things that are nevertheless true. One clear word of Jesus, or of Moses, or of the prophets, or the apostles, is all we need to establish a matter firmly, and to believe it. That our Lord Jesus does not speak just once, but many times, of both heaven and hell, should tell us that he considers the final destiny of our souls very important. In fact, it is the constant subject of his preaching. All of his parables speak of it. All of his promises are wrapped up in the afterlife. Jesus comes to give everlasting life. And therefore he speaks in parables to describe the nature of the kingdom of heaven and of those who end up there, and also of those who do not. In the manner in which Jesus does constantly speak about hell, one could define it in many of his parables as that place which is not heaven, not the wedding feast. What is outside? Outer darkness. Beyond heaven's shut door. The place where the only word that the damned ever hear from the Father as the door of heaven is slammed shut is, I never knew you. You see, hell is the place of forgetting. And that is why, if you find yourself in hell, it is too late to repent. It is the place of forgetting, not because the damned do not remember their life here on this earth. Far from it. It's all they think about. They will spend eternity remembering what life was like here when things were good, and all of the missed opportunities that they had. It is the place of forgetting, rather, because this is where God has forgotten those who are there. Jesus calls the place the outer darkness because in that place God's light does not shine. He has forgotten the damned in hell. He does not show them his face. His ear is closed to their prayers. It is too late to repent. Therefore, we see the rich man lifting up his eyes in Hades and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cries out to Abraham because God is not listening. No doubt he'd already cried out long and hard to God already, but this did no good. What brought this man here? Why is he now tormented while Lazarus is comforted? What did he do that was so bad as to earn an eternity in flames? Well, our lesson doesn't really answer that question directly. It simply notes that the rich man had it very good. He lived a life of luxury. He did not have a care in the world. And in fact, he had so little care that he couldn't even see fit to feed that poor beggar Lazarus who was always there on his doorstep. He could have brought him in and given him a plate of food, tended to his wounds. He certainly had the resources, but he did not. Lazarus was lucky if he received even the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The rich man was in hell because he had no love. He had no love for his neighbor, for his brother, for they were both children of Abraham, for he called Abraham his father, and therefore he had no love for God either. Remember the words of our epistle. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? It was not as if the rich man did not know that Lazarus was there. God did not ask the rich man to feed all the beggars in the world. He placed only one man at his doorstep. There was only Lazarus. But he couldn't even take the time to care for that one poor man. And so God has not called you to feed all the hungry in the world either. There are plenty of people right before you who need your love. Who has God brought to your doorstep, to your place of work, to the stores where you shop? Jesus says, "The poor you will always have with you. You will always have Lazarus at your doorstep, or in your community, a neighbor, a family member, perhaps your own children, or your parents who need your help." God may not have given you great money, but maybe he has. But he's certainly given you so much food that some of it spoils before it can be eaten, more clothes than you can wear, a house filled with luxuries that would make anything the rich man have seem primitive. For no other reason, for he did not give these to you just so simply that you could enjoy yourself and take your ease. You see, you do not need to have a great deal of money like the rich man to sin like the rich man and hate your brother and hate your God. You only need to close up your heart to the needs of your neighbor when you could help him. And you are just as surely closing your heart to God and refusing to love him by loving your neighbor. No, the rich man surely did not forget all these things, all these lost opportunities. But regrets are of no use in hell. Just as he showed no comfort to Lazarus in life, so now there is no comfort for him. There is no one who can so much as put a drop of water on his tongue. In hell, he does not have so much as a dog to lick his sores. Even Lazarus had it better in life than the rich man had it in death. It seemed to the rich man like he had so much time while he was alive. There was not the slightest hint of anything evil happening to him. Death was a phantom. It was a fear that he could successfully drown in fine drink and bury in good food. Maybe tomorrow he would feel like doing something good for the poor. Maybe even give Lazarus a nice meal for once. Maybe next week he would visit the local synagogue and fulfill his obligation to hear Moses and the prophets. Oh, but there's friends coming over next Sabbath. There's a big dinner party. There's so much to do to prepare. There's a big tournament at the Colosseum in Caesarea the week after that, and the home team is playing. Oh, and then there's that hunting trip the week after that. Well, I tried, he tells himself, but there's just so much going on. But there's plenty of time, after all. Only soon Lazarus dies. And there's no more time to help Lazarus. There's no more beggar on the doorstep. Oh, it was inevitable. He was so sick, after all. Too bad. There's nothing for it. But that's the way life goes. Pour another glass of wine. At least I have plenty of time left, he thinks. Only he didn't. The rich man also died. Perhaps he had a heart attack. Perhaps he was struck by a drunk chariot driver. Maybe lightning struck him on the way home from the games in Caesarea, or he was poisoned by a stilted lover. Just when he thought he had so much time, all his time was gone. And as he is weighed in the balance of God's judgment, he is found wanting. All those riches in which he trusted cannot help him. He has nothing to show. He has no righteousness. He has nothing that he can answer for how he lived, how he hated his brother who was in need, how he hated God, for all his murderous thoughts, his gluttony, his greed, his lust, and even just for being born a corrupt sinner, he is cast into the flames of hell, the place of forgetting, never to know a moment's peace or the smallest joy again. But Lazarus is carried into Abraham's bosom by the angels. He is at peace. He is comforted. His sores are gone. He is waited on the mercies of God, and God has not failed him. He is happy and he lacks nothing. What did Lazarus do to deserve that? What kind of good works was he doing while he was lazing about all day on the rich man's doorstep? How is this justice? How is this fair? Surely the rich man had given something to charity. He'd done some good. Certainly he did more good than this. Lazarus, what's Lazarus ever done? Yet the rich man suffers and Lazarus gets off scot-free. But all of those thoughts do nothing to tame the torments of the flame and Hades, and so the rich man does the only thing that he can do, as in death, so in life. He calls out to Father Abraham and begs him to send Lazarus with some water to cool his tongue. Just a drop. Anything. Yes, that's right. Send Lazarus on over. He didn't do anything in life. The least he can do is serve me a bit in death. Even if it means he has to navigate the flames of hell. As you can see, this guy is a bit dense. But Abraham sets him straight. God has passed judgment. You are tormented. Lazarus is comforted. You had your chance. You had your good things in life. You wasted them and did no good with them. You cared nothing for God and his word. You heard Moses and the prophets, but you never repented of your sins. You had no use for those laws of Moses which should have driven you to your knees. You could care less what the prophets said about that son of David who would come to take away your sin. You can call out to Abraham now all you want, begging for help, but you had no use for the faith of Abraham. You thought all that Hades stuff was a load of hooey. After all, if God is love, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? But now you are tormented. But Lazarus is comforted, and it is too late to change that now. Now there are only regrets, not only of his wasted life, but of his family. He has 5 brothers. They are no better than he. They came from the same father and were trained the same way. They too will come to this place of torment unless they repent. So the rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to preach to his family, to show them mercy and warn them of the terrible wrath that will come upon them if they do not repent. No, Abraham answers. They have Moses and the prophets. There is no word that Lazarus could speak that Moses and the prophets have not already spoken 100 or 1,000 times. Why would it matter if they saw a dead man come back to life, when they have the witness of all the scriptures where God performs a miracle like that many times and many more miracles than that? No one fails to believe because he hasn't seen enough signs or wonders. He fails to believe because he has shut his ears to the word of God. If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, they will also not believe if one were to rise from the dead. We now have one who has risen from the dead, Jesus Christ. He is greater than Lazarus, greater than Moses, and greater than all the prophets. He has come to you today preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and he has done wondrous signs. The greatest of all of them is when he laid down his life as the sacrifice for the sins of the world, and he took it up again when he triumphantly rose from the dead. You who have lived among your neighbor and shut the doors of your heart to their need, you who have wasted the resources that he has given you and given no thought to the needs of the poor or the kingdom of heaven, Jesus comes to you as you are, in your sin and guilt, and he invites you to come to him, to come to paradise with him even, to taste the fruits of eternal life. And he does not even demand that you end your sin and amend your evil ways and sin no more ever again. Before he will invite you, before he will let you in, he invites you to confess your sins now, to admit your guilt, and then come to him as you are, and he will receive you. He will wash away your sins, and he will give to you his body and blood for the remission of your sins. He will make you pure and clean. Even if you have spent a lifetime ignoring his prophets and apostles, he still calls out to you to come to him now, for there is still time. The door of heaven is still open. Therefore, do not delay. Do not neglect his word. Come and hear, taste, and live. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord God, King eternal, of whom, through whom, and in whom are all things, both in heaven and earth, and who in the Trinity of thy Godhead art one God, we give thee our most heartfelt thanks for the multitude of thy mercies which thou hast so graciously showered upon us. Most of all, we thank thee for thy great love and for the priceless gifts which thou hast given in Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, whom thou didst send for our salvation. We thank thee for the forgiveness of our sins which he has won for us, that thereby we may be delivered from death and the devil's power, and granted everlasting life. O Lord, who first loved us, grant that we may love thee with all our heart and soul and might. Teach us to walk obedient to thy commandments, and as we wrestle against the powers of spiritual darkness in all our temptations, give us the strength to overcome them by the constant remembrance that in thy Son we are redeemed from the devil's power. And as thou didst anoint thy church with the Holy Ghost and with power, help her everywhere throughout the world among all people and tongues to declare thy wonderful works, to the end that the multitudes may come to thy light. Look in mercy upon the nations of the world and grant them thy peace. Especially do we beseech thee that thou wouldst bless our own land. Give the spirit of wisdom and understanding to all who rule over us. Banish all vain ambition and love of power and luxury. Upon all our homes let the sunshine of thy love descend, and grant that our children may be reared in thankful devotion to thee, and all their days walk in thy praise. We entreat thee, O loving Father, for thy mercy and grace upon all who face adversity or trial. Be thou the health of the sick, the joy of the sorrowing, the staff of the aged, the companion of the lonely, and the strength of the weak. Grant us all these petitions, O Lord, for the sake of him who died, that we might ever live unto thee. Amen.
We sing hymn number 40.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. O Son,
this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom.
The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away
and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 54.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen,
Good morning.